Something. Go ahead. You can be our intro. You keep playing. You keep playing while I do my intro here. This is Matt Santos with the Mile High Show. We're down at the Windmill Corral in Chino Valley for episode number 101.
Nice.
Now, if you guys are sick of hearing my voice, you're probably this close to sick of hearing my guest host today, Mr. Sky Conwell, because he is on the show almost as much as I am. But we are out here again, like I said, at Windmill Corral to do episode 101. And we're sitting down with a couple of folks we'll introduce you to in just a minute. But I want to let you know this episode is brought to you by Amazon. Use that Amazon link at milehighshow.com to do all your online shopping. And what it does is it lets Amazon know you got there through us. And they give us a little kickback. But here's going to be... I'm going to pull those headphones off. I hate wearing those. But here's going to be my little vent for the week. Sky, you may want to know this, because
okay,
it's going to affect how we go about
Is this good news or bad news?
I don't know. I'm a little upset. I had a weird conversation with Amazon last night. What it is we put that Amazon button right at the bottom of our webpage. And then it doesn't cost customers anything extra, but you click on that. That's why I always start these shows, encouraging people to go to milehighshow.com, click that Amazon link. What it does is when you log into your Amazon account or Amazon Prime, it just lets them know you got there through our website. And
right,
then what they do, it doesn't cost you anything extra, but what Amazon does is anything you order, once it's paid for and delivered, they kick us back a little percentage.
Oh, okay. That's
and it's
like a
right
good deal
around
for everybody.
Yeah, it's right around 4% of a purchase. So
yeah,
you're talking on $100, $4.
Yeah,
and I'm hovering $20, $30, $40 a month
there
through
you go.
It.
Sure.
But since I started that thing about 9 months ago, my affiliation with Amazon, and what I do is I ask people to email me. If you use the link, email me and I'll talk about what you got. I'll give you, if you're ordering for a business, I'll plug the business, stuff like that. And they're typically small orders.
Yeah.
The first or second month I started this thing, somebody I don't know, but who listened to, I can't remember what episode was that they tuned in on. It was somebody in California. And they were tuning in not because of me. They were tuning in because of the guest.
Right.
They placed like a $1,500 order.
Wow. That's a big chunk.
Amazon sends me a notice. We have deemed this order ineligible. So I write them back. I says, well, why? Well, that's proprietary information. We can't divulge that.
Well,
about 6 months later, somebody sends me a thing. They placed a $500 order. Yeah. So I'm going to get $30, $40. Same thing. We have deemed this order ineligible. So
it seems to be, as long as your orders are small they'll,
well, but they won't tell you why. So 2 weeks ago, and I'm not going to say who. I don't want to get the guy in trouble. But a local purchasing agent put in an order for $3,500. Mm-hmm. It's going to be about $150, $160 to me because it kicked me up to a higher percentage. Mm. It got ordered, it got delivered, and it showed up on my Amazon report. And then Friday, they send me an email. We have deemed this order to be ineligible. So I wrote a fairly extensive letter back to the email back to them, sent it in, and got a really snotty reply last night. We have deemed it ineligible. The way we judge that is proprietary information. Please stop asking why. Any further inquiries will be ignored.
This is only your second inquiry.
No, well, on this particular order. But each time they deny one, I ask, and they won't tell me. So what it is I guess, now I know there's a lot of success with these Amazon things, with the big, huge, major podcasts, you know, the Mark Marons, the Adam Carollas, all that. They get millions of downloads. So they're generating a lot of business for Amazon. A little schmuck like me, who doesn't generate a lot of stuff, all of a sudden costs them a couple $100, and they just deny the order. So I'm still going to plug away, because every little bit helps.
Every little bit
but
helps.
But that's my gripe this week against Amazon.
Well, how frustrating is
that? It's like a multi-million dollar company. I'm just trying to gas up our mobile studio out there. That's what I call my van, our mobile studio. Well, that's my rant, Sky.
I'm a person myself. I'm on your side.
Now, yeah. Sky, tell us what you got coming on. Your website, your right. Facebook, your upcoming calendar,
well, the
including
website.
Where we are right now at the Windmill Corral.
All right, well, let's start with that. We're at the Wind. This is the Windmill House, the Windmill Corral. They do this the hot barbecue summer days. Every single Sunday.
What are you laughing at me for?
No, I wasn't laughing at you. I can't remember the title of their barbecue. They have a title for it, and it's really cool.
And it's really cool. So look at windmillhouseaz.com, and you'll be surprised at the...
What's even cooler is what happens when you come. You can come any Sunday. It's open from 11 in the morning till 6 p.m. And there's no admission. That's amazing. Of course, there's a barbecue, and the prices are reasonable, and it's very tasty. But there's a pond. There's all kinds of things set up for the kids. There's some vendors. There's a train that kind of goes around.
The food starts like at $7, $8, $9, and it's pretty... now she's going to hold us accountability here. Make sure we...
It's the Hog Days of Summer Barbecue at the Windmill Corral.
We're going to get this.
You got it, right?
Sky, finish plugging. And you're here every Sunday?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, they have this every Sunday. And yeah, I'm right here. I'm making music up on the stage. I'm here for the whole event. And it's a lot of fun. There's families. There's kids. It's a family-friendly thing. And I just can't say enough good stuff about it.
A lot of picnic tables out here. A little the Red Cup Saloon Bar. They got wine, beer, and... Looks like Mike's Lemonade and margaritas and stuff. WindmillHouseAZ.com and WindmillCorral.com is the info. Because they also do, the grounds here are extensive and they're gorgeous.
They sure
with
are.
With the trees, the pond, the lawn area, weddings. I've done several weddings here over the years, corporate gigs, reunion type things, company parties and things. A few years back, the Sundogs hosted the CHL All-Star Game dinner, corporate dinner here. People from all over the country and Canada. So it's a very beautiful location. They do a great job with the food. There were some hiccups over the past few years, and then they've just recently reopened. Now, those hiccups we talked about really quickly with our guests who are going to get introduced here in just a second. Those hiccups would actually be a real fun podcast all on their own. So, Joe Cordovana, I'm going to reach out to you and sit down and...
You've sparked my interest.
Talk with Joe.
This is a podcast I want to listen to.
I just don't know how much Joe would want to sit down and talk. I've known Joe for years when I was working with the paper and doing work with the town. He, aside from where we're at, aside from the Windmill House and Windmill Corral, Joe... All alone is several podcasts. Just he's an interesting guy.
We can
lives
get
right
get
up the street. He's probably creeping around the grounds as we speak. But
I feel his presence right now.
No, trust me. If he was here, you wouldn't feel it. He's very stealth.
The pie hiccups.
All right, and that is talking right there on mic number two. Is Stella? Stella,
Aloha.
How are you?
I have not seen you.
In quite a while.
It's been a while. Yes, it has. Very excited.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for making time.
Thank you.
We're here to talk about some of her projects, including a CD she's holding there, as well as an upcoming show she has with, among others, Becky Dahlke, who we had on the show here a couple weeks back, Becky Fest, which is taking place August 20th at the Bistro in the evening. We're going to talk about all those things, but the one thing that I want to touch base and catch up with Stella on is just what she's been doing, because when you talk and when you think about the artist community, the creative arts, the visual and audio arts and spoken word and everything in this area, you really epitomize what that community is. You are a true blue artist of many mediums. So give us, if you can, the little Reader's Digest 90 second to 2 minute little recap of who you are and where you hail from.
Okay. Well, long story short.
All the time. We don't need it that short.
Well, I kind of had dropped out of music other than booking and producing events. I started in 1989 producing Earth Mother Mind Jam, and in respect to that festival, I wore the hat today with the hummingbird on it. That was a multicultural music and art festival that I produced on A Prayer and a Feather starting in 89, and I did that for actually about 20 years.
Wow.
Every year, primarily in Phoenix, but I also produced in Hawaii. And I produced in Phoenix. And then in 2001, I started producing a festival in Jerome called One Love Festival. And then later on the Gold King Mine Americana Music Festival. Anyway, and then I moved to Prescott originally in 2005, and I had kind of, I had a very popular band down in the valley called the Fake McCoys for many years, for about 10 years. We played all over the Southwest anyway. Then I moved to Minnesota, which is where I'm originally from.
Yeah.
So I've kind of lived between Minnesota, Hawaii, and mostly in Arizona this lifetime.
And, this one. I think that's a whole other podcast, too.
And anyways, so I had a band in Minnesota called Mantra Truck, which was a female funk trio. Anyway, when I moved to in 2005 to Prescott, I moved for love. And I was sort of fed up with the music industry, and so I was not really promoting any of my music so much. I would do some poetry, produce, you know, play at open mics, and play a little bit, but more of the most of the time I was promoting other people because I had more passion for that.
Yeah.
So in about 2000, let's see, I kind of get lost in time some time. In 2013, for about a year, a woman that I used to play with, Donna Durkalek, we used to have an all-female heavy metal band years ago in Phoenix called Chanteuse. And she'd been calling me for about a year saying, come on, and I want to get you in the studio. I've got these songs. I want you, you know, I really want you to hear them. I really want you to come in the studio. And no disrespect meant, Donna, because I love you dearly, but I was like, no, I'm really not interested.
Yeah.
Didn't we do that before, and what happened? And we had a, you know, we went all the way to Interscope Records,
yeah.
You know, and $1 million contract, and Bootsy Collins from the Funkadelics
wow.
was going to, yeah, it was a really, and at that time period, I don't mean to sound, because I look back on it sometimes now and I go, why did I do what I did? But we were involved in a situation with a corrupt manager at that time. And I'm not going to mention her name.
Unfortunately, that's not a really unique story in the music business.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Max has got plenty of
we're going to get to Max.
Stories to tell. But so anyways, I ended up walking away from the contract. I decided that as an artist, it was more important for me to find out who I was.
Yeah.
To find out who I truly was as a songwriter.
As opposed to throwing yourself into a job.
Into a contract that would demand 5 years and for me to be involved in a situation that I felt was very toxic.
Yeah.
So, but the interesting thing is many years later, Donna called and said, I really want you to come. And I kept saying, no, no, no. And then finally, I said, okay, I'll come down and I'll do these four songs. So I came down. That's how it started. And then that was 2013. Well, in 2013 in September, I was in a head-on car collision at Gail Gardner and Gurley Street,
oh,
which
wow.
most people don't know because I didn't go around.
Yeah.
I didn't make announcements about it.
A lot of people do.
But
they stubbed their toe, and it's all over Facebook.
Well, I didn't tell anybody about it. And long story short is we had just started recording the album, which is what we brought with us
what
today.
What we have here.
This is the EP, but there'll be a you know, there's a full-length coming out. But anyway, after the car accident, what happened was I lost everything. I lost the relationship I had originally moved to Prescott for, the place that I lived, the job that I had. My car.
And the
was
car,
total.
Of course. Yeah, I can't
my
forget
car
that.
Was total. And in addition to that, without going into all of it, because this is the first time I'm actually even saying
gotcha.
Anything about it, is. I had and still have PTSD. I still drive like a traumatized driver sometimes. And I became increasingly sensitive, and so I kind of ended up moving.
So watch what you say, Sky.
Moved to the other side of the mountain so that in the public eye. Because the people that I was close to could see that I was acting differently and
yeah.
that something was changed about me. But I was suddenly this very social person, and you know, because
yeah.
you've seen me
yeah.
on the microphone.
Yeah.
This very social person became had social anxiety.
Gotcha.
Which is, you know,
and when you say the other side of like the Mingus side, Jerome,
yeah,
yeah.
Just the other side of Mingus. Yeah. And I love Mingus so much, and I love Yavapai County so much. So anyways, now it's a recovery process. So we finally got these songs, this EP ready. And we're having our live debut, you know, at Becky Fest coming up, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that. But that's kind of what I've been doing, Matt. That's why, and this is the first time I've been hiding it and not really wanting to talk to anybody about it. And I've just decided I have to start talking because it's the only way that I'm really gonna get better, and hopefully I can help other people that might have been through the same thing to realize it's okay. You know, it's just. It's okay, you know, and you know.
I'm glad you felt comfortable enough to sit down and talk, and hopefully this conversation will continue to go as smooth.
Yes.
I'm interested in, because I am not a musician. I think I've told this story before. I think I've told Sky anyway. My musical performance ability consists of singing in the shower, and I've had neighbors complain. Literally,
have
stopped me in the yard.
When you're in there, your own shower.
Told me thin walls at that old apartment.
Just sing a little bit quiet.
Yeah, well, with the water running. But I have zero musical ability, but a great appreciation for musicians and what you guys
can do. Matt, you're a very big supporter of the music scene here in Prescott.
It amazes me when I see. Because there's so much involved in playing an instrument and keeping time and things. And when I see guys, well, like you and Sky, like yourself or Les, when you guys are playing and you're having a conversation or you're dealing with other things, I don't understand how that can be done, because I am unable to walk and chew gum without tripping, falling on my face.
But I think I was born with a guitar.
That must have hurt your mom.
Yeah.
But aside from just the skill level and the concentration and the raw talent it takes, music as a way of healing and as a way of like therapy, so to speak, pretty much every musician I've talked with either speaks to that in the way of either creating the music, writing the songs, writing the lyrics as a way to express themselves, and not just the creative expression, but in a healing, therapeutic way. And how does that play into what you're going through now?
Well, I'm starting to play again. The biggest frustration for me was that, one thing is, over the years I've been known to do a lot of improv where I make things up with the audience, make songs up on the spot.
I've seen you do that. It's
and
remarkable.
I love to do that. Well, I couldn't do it quite as well after the accident. Oh. So that's something that I'm like regaining my ability to remember things that are said to me and repeat them back. I was a little frustrated because I couldn't hold my bass guitar, because a lot of my work that I did do in Prescott was, or in the area, was singing and playing bass. But suddenly my bass was too heavy for my neck and my shoulder. And I'm just starting to, when we rehearsed a couple weeks ago, I'm starting to play more. So like, but it's the hardest thing for me was that I was always a very positive thinker.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, you know, I say anybody can do anything, make the impossible possible. But suddenly when you have something like PTSD, which I didn't think anyone could have unless they'd been to war.
Yeah.
A lot of people think
so,
that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I really didn't know it. And I had friends that, you know, have had PTSD. And honestly, and I'm so sorry, I was probably insensitive because I didn't understand it. Yeah. But, The hardest thing was for being somebody who did improv and could make things up very easily, to suddenly not be able to do that was very, I got very angry about that.
Hmm.
So it's been learning to add in other things, more meditation, you know, more chanting, and now more singing and more singing. And every time we play and every time I sing, I feel really good about life.
Well, let's look at the other part of that we. We being the gentleman sitting next to me. Max, give us a little bit about who you are and where. I'm going to guess you're not from Minnesota.
No. I'm from Italy. From Italia.
Now, how long have you been in the States?
Well, 20 years.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was born and raised in a very small village around Milano. Milano, Italy.
Yeah?
And, you know, I had many dreams back when I was a kid. I didn't quite understood what I wanted to do in my life, but I liked the open road and the music. You know, United States to me represented a mixture between freedom and rock and roll. You know, I became a truck driver, you know, being a trucker for over 20 years. I know a lot about the open road.
Now, did you start that when you got to the States or when you were still in Italy?
When I was drafted into the army, because back in the days, you know, if you lived in Italy, you were going to have to serve.
Mandatory, you know, service.
Oh, yeah.
Let's back up a little farther mm-hmm. than that.
Yeah.
What was home life for you, Max, growing up in Italy? What kind of town? What was the environment?
It was the best place that I can possibly picture in my mind. The first 10 years of my life, you know, was really deep. A very small village, 100 people, open fields.
Rice fields
and corn fields. It was all yellow with the blue sky, you know. I liked it. It was
beautiful.
So flat and so deep. You could lose yourself just by looking at all those fields. And, you know, I knew something was missing in my life, but I didn't understand what was yet, because actually that happened in 1982 when my family, you know, all of us, we moved into the city. So we had to leave for economical reasons, you know, my daddy's job and stuff.
Into what city?
Vercelli. It's a, you know, it's a city not as big as Milano, but it's pretty big. And I lost something that was my friends, that was the countryside and the sense of freedom of being out in the wild.
How old were you when the family made that move? So you're 10 years old.
I'm 10 years old. And
how many brothers and sisters?
Only one sister.
Okay.
Younger than me.
Smaller family, moving from a
family.
Smaller than Paulden.
Yeah.
To put it in Arizona perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to play the dumb, ignorant American.
Something
I do
cool
that
is coming
really
up.
Good. No, I just do that really good. The only thing I know about Italy is from the movies and from television shows. And it's just not, I'll be quite frank, when I picture Italy, I picture the scenes from Casablanca when they were in Europe. Mm-hmm. I picture old war movies and, you know, certain scenes from The Godfather is all I can base my vision of Italy on.
Yes.
So to hear you talk about the small villages and the countryside,
yes. mm-hmm.
you say yes. rice. I never would have guessed rice would have been a crop in Italy. I don't know why. I assume it would only... What? Vineyards, I guess.
But spaghetti westerns were...
True.
Spaghetti westerns.
Yeah, yeah.
And how did that affect you, Max? I
mean, well...
What happened?
Just like Stella said, you know, spaghetti westerns was a big thing in the 70s. And this great director, Sergio Leone, unfortunately, you know, passed away. He's dead, so we just have to appreciate what he did. He represented America in a whole different way, because the spaghetti western was a way for the Italians and anybody else in Europe to reach this beautiful country of the United States just by sitting on a couch and just looking at the gorgeous Monument Valley, the Grand Canyon, and all of it.
And so now you're here.
And now I'm here.
So you end up in the, and I'm sorry, I would mm-hmm. butcher it if I even remembered. I think it started with a V, the bigger city you moved into?
Vercelli.
What, when you got there, you say it was a little bit of a culture shock for you?
A culture shock, exactly. So my mom actually saved me because
Mama
she's
Gianna.
The one. Mama Gianna. Mama Gianna. So she gave me a harmonica for Christmas. It was 1982.
And you're what, 10?
No, I was
right 10, around 10,
and I didn't have any friends at the time because I left my friends behind,
yeah.
You know. So it was all new for me. And she thought, you know, with this harmonica, maybe I was going to overpass my hard times and just make a new beginning, new start for me. So that's what the harmonica always represented in my life since that day. You know, it's been my little friend in my pocket. Because actually, that's true. I never went anywhere since that day without my harmonica in
now,
my pocket.
So was it
in a long time.
When you first picked it up and first blew a few breaths into it, was there anything you were trying to emulate? Had you been listening to, say, like old Delta blues, or was it the guys, the cowboys sitting around the campfire?
Can you play it for us?
I can certainly play, but
tell me a little bit about the first. What were you trying to create that first few times?
I was trying to play Charles Bronson riff because there was a movie that really signed my life. You know, Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yes,
Charles Bronson, Henry Fonda, you know, the final duel between the cowboys, you know, the bounty killers, whatever we want to call them. And I don't know how many out there saw that movie, but Charles Bronson was walking around with a harmonica hanging off his neck, and you just don't understand what it was supposed to be doing in the movie until the very end. But he was playing a funny little riff with three notes, and there was so deep. Only three notes, I know, so deep. But, you know, that harmonica just signed my entire life because I fell in love with the instrument itself, and I just had to get one, play it, and learn it, you know. That's the bottom line. So the riff goes pretty much like this. Let's see where it's at. It's just three notes. but many people probably recognize that riff. I have an original harmonica that was played in the movie here.
Now I'm gonna get a picture of this before we go, because he's got his harmonicas around him in holsters. Wait, how many do you got with you right now?
Oh, just four.
Oh, just four. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Always I thought it was like more. You know,
no.
Like a bunch.
He's got 12 more in the
but
truck.
But it's just yeah, four. It's just four.
Yeah. Just four. That's the thing about harmonica. It's nice because they're so small, but you gotta pick the right one because each comes.
Well,
depends what
yes, the right one actually for you guys up there. The right one. Is the orchestra three? That's the one.
Oh, okay.
If you don't have that one that was used in the movie, you can't play this.
So this was actually
that's
used the in the movie. This
oh,
particular
yeah.
harmonica.
Oh,
it took
that's
him a long time.
Cool.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, this is the note right here.
All right, let's hear it, Max.
Okay.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
Hey.
But you're playing a honer, a blues harp, right?
Yes.
So that one wasn't a honer blues harp. What was that one? The one that you put
that
in your back
pocket? That was an orchestra three.
Oh, that's the orchestra three. That,
what
that's
he orchestra,
what he didn't tell you is they don't
three,
make those yeah. anymore.
I was just going to say, I've never even heard of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It took me...
but it is honer.
All my life to find one because they didn't make them anymore.
Oh, no. is it a diatonic one?
Yeah, it's a diatonic with doubles.
You got to really kind of bend your lips then to kind of get to those little tiny holes there.
You got bass notes and high notes.
Okay.
They're actually used in bluegrass a lot, at least back in the times.
Yeah, here goes some bluegrass.
Why don't you play? Go play a little bit.
Wow.
Very nice.
Yeah. Grazie, grazie, grazie.
By the harmonica.
Oh, yes.
Are you playing like each one of those holes is a different note? Sometimes
yes.
you can. Sometimes you can open your mouth a little bit. Well,
yes.
I'm guessing, and you can get both of the notes at the same time. But if you're doing a single note, you got to go from there
yes.
to there to like a bottom of this one, then the top of that one, then
yes.
the bottom of this one, and then
yes,
that is incredible. I've never seen a harmonica that's got the holes like yeah. on top of each other.
Not
like
many
that.
People plays these harmonicas.
Yes, it's a unique sound. You were just playing
oh,
it's
yeah.
like that. That I, now I know that you know what where those harmonica sounds come from.
So for you, Sky, yeah. and other harmonica lovers, passionate, basically you have the top row very low notes like this. And then you have the bottom notes, they're very, very high, like... Okay. And when you mix them, you kind of arch your lips like a half a moon... So you catch some of the bass and some of the high notes, and it works exactly like a diatonic blues harp.
So you can make it sound like a regular harp.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're playing both at the same time, when you go back and forth from the top
oh,
to the
yeah.
bottom, yeah, you can make
especially
it sound
especially
like
when you wow. go yeah. really fast.
Wow. So all of your other harmonicas then are regular blues harps, Hohner?
Yeah.
What do you think of Lee Oscar?
I have them. I play them a lot because they were affordable.
Yeah.
But I don't personally like plastic.
Yeah.
It just doesn't give me the same feeling like playing an harmonica with a wood comb.
Right.
So my favorite harmonicas must have wood combs.
Do you change yeah. the, how often do you change the reeds?
Almost never.
Okay.
Because now I actually learned some things about the overbending and how much a reed
so
can
to,
take
so
the
to,
stress.
So you play it in a way to make it last.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he customizes
and I
his customize. Harmonicas.
What, really?
Oh.
How do you do that?
Well,
it depends on the harmonica.
It depends
but
how many parts you save from the broken ones of the time.
Well, he's also...
So out in the car, those other... How many are out there, did you say? 12?
12.
12.
Those over the 12, and then you've got a graveyard of harmonicas at home.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds. He
oh,
told
yeah.
me for a while, okay, I'm going to buy harmonicas on eBay, and then I'm going to customize them, you know, and then we'll put them for sale, right?
Very nice.
He can't do it.
You can't get them.
It's
like letting go of your kids.
After that, you know, it's my baby. I can't sell anymore.
So we got 10-year-old Max strolling yeah. through the Italian
yes.
countryside
yeah.
mm-hmm. Pretending he's Bronson.
Yeah.
Now, what music were you listening to as a child? And was your family a musical family?
My first favorite band is AC/DC. So I liked the straight, tough chords of hard
the
rock.
Pounding
the power,
rock.
Pounding rock, like mm-hmm. AC/DC.
Made him feel alive and
yeah.
happy.
No,
brought happiness.
I got
to
a few years on you, but I remember seeing AC/DC play at the Oakland Coliseum for a day on the green. Back in Black came out when I was in junior high, and that was an eye-opener to hear
mm-hmm.
that music. What were you, so you're listening to AC/DC?
Yeah, that doesn't
now,
have
the,
to do nothing about the harmonic,
well,
of
no,
course. But
well, you know, every little bit of music
yes.
you listen to will transform into what
yes.
you're playing in one way or another, just the influences.
Mm. Who else?
Was the hairstyle pretty much the same back then?
Yeah, well, yeah.
So you were a little headbanger, 10-year-old
yes.
headbanger?
The 80s really made a big impression over there.
Who else were you listening to?
Well, I like the Sonny Boy Williams song
oh,
because
yeah.
the blues and the harmonica goes together like pane salami.
Like, wait, like what?
We say bread and salami. You know,
pane salami.
Pane means bread. So.
I think we'd say
you're talking about the second Sonny Boy, not Rice Miller. You're talking about... There's two Sonny Boys.
Sonny Boy Williams song.
From the,
yes.
what, the 40s, 50s? Was he
yeah.
playing? Yeah.
The one
like
they used to play, the Marine Band 364, yeah. which is actually a very good harmonica that not many people really approach
that's
anymore.
That's the one everybody should go after, the
yeah.
Marine 364. Mm.
It's a bigger size Marine Band, but it has a unique sound because you have the first octave that is super low. And to be able to bend those reeds, you really got to love the sound of it. And Sonny Boy was really good about that, playing the harmonica.
How old were you?
Oh, go ahead. I think there's another band that you're forgetting that was a big major band that you love?
Yeah, I love Guns N' Roses a lot. Yeah. I really appreciate the sound of the 80s. So Guns N' Roses was a big influence on me. And any other band that was considered hard rock from around those
Now, years. Was that
a, he loves Travis Tritt too?
Well, yeah, so that's, good, vast variety,
country rock.
So, yeah. What was Wayland were Jennings. You unique in your town, in your city, for liking this, or was was American rock, or just because well, AC/DC not American rock, but was rock and roll, heavy metal?
I was a minority.
Okay,
yes,
so that
I was
wasn't
a minority.
See,
so
where
people
I
were
grew,
listening to Italian music, traditional Italian music.
Eduardo Benato.
Folk, yes.
Eduardo Benato. That's what your peers were listening to.
Mm. Okay. English was not very popular.
Eduardo
so
Benato.
Unfortunately, for somebody like an Italian songwriter, if you're really good and you write Italian songs, you can be super famous over there in Italy, but just in Italy, because once you get out of the country, then they're not going to understand your lyrics.
Yeah. Now, Stella, who was it you
Eduardo
mentioned?
Eduardo Benato. Oh,
now, was that like ballads? What kind of music is that?
Eduardo Benato, I've heard him called sort of the Italian Bob Dylan, but have you guys seen Searching for Sugarman?
No,
but
Sixto
I
Rodriguez. Have you heard of the documentary?
Yes. I know the doc. I haven't been able to see it.
Amazing documentary, and part of actually what brought me back out into music and got me going again is that documentary. But anyway, we can talk about that later. But Eduardo Benato, I think, is one of the most prolific songwriters in the world. He is probably most known for folk, but he really wrote songs in all genres.
Really?
And in addition to that, very politically, very, very much the spokesperson for the people, you know, and for freedom.
He was able to find the right words to say what he wanted to say.
Very poetic.
Without being illegal. In other words, his songs were really strong because you were able to understand what the meaning was. Mm-hmm. But he was not saying it right away to get straight to jail. You know, he had the way to
very poetic.
To use his
get
words
a message
and
across.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
still
and
be in a position.
Respected.
Yeah, but still be in a position where you can actually get your message across.
Exactly.
It's hard to do that from behind bars.
Yeah, no, he wasn't looking for problems or anything like that. But
no, how old were you when you came to the States?
27.
Okay, so you're it's several, you know, a chunk later. What was the political climate in Italy growing up? Again, the dumb American here. I don't even know the political climate in Yavapai County, let alone outside.
we're
what was the political climate in Italy, say, when you were in your teens and early 20s?
It was unstable. It was unstable. We had a continuous conflict with the Middle East and this bad guy, Saddam Hussein, and many other ones just deteriorated everything around there. We had immigrants coming to Italy and they still do. And it was hard for our economy to be helpful and still have jobs for our own people. So he kind of got, I don't know, overpacked.
Yeah.
World War II was really...
That
why don't you go ahead and... If you want to mention something. I mean,
it
affected his
heavy,
family. His family was very affected by the war.
Yeah.
Tremendously so. I mean,
the first war and the second
unbelievable
war.
Unbelievable stories.
Yeah. Germany, the bombing, Hitler.
His mom was 10 and raised her brother and sister.
Wow. She was traumatized when they were flying around town throwing bombs down to the village and stuff like that. I mean, she barely saw...
Mama Gianna.
I mean, it was the end of the war, but she still saw something bad, and that was traumatizing, very traumatic experience because she was only, you know, like a baby girl. So,
yeah, it's amazing what, you know, when we talk in the States and, you know, Arizona specifically, you go to towns that have, you know, very historic old buildings from the late 1800s, and we talk about, you know, political unrest because there's, and not to minimize it, but because there's, you know, mass shootings or there's protests and demonstrations. And then you talk about history, Europe, Italy, where their old buildings are from the 1800s, they're from the 800s and earlier and earlier. Yeah. And when you talk about unrest, it's about not not to minimalize what people go through here, but it's not a shooting at a street or a demonstration that got violent. It's bombs falling from the sky, destroying everything that you know as home. It's just amazing how different people have different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, the generation that I'm part of from the 60s on up, we did not, there has been war. It's all been overseas. There hasn't been war on our soil type of thing. It's very hard for us to understand what you and your parents and your grandparents mm-hmm. went through.
Well, the Italians are amazing filmmakers,
they represented the traumatic period of the war into many movies, mm-hmm. artistically.
Yeah, very, very and creative. I mean, Fellini.
The cinematic styles of
Argento,
who we view as our artists, Coppola, Scorsese,
they
reference the Italian filmmakers.
We watched the story of Antonio Ligabue.
The artist, the famous artist. Mm-hmm. I had not heard of this artist before.
She never saw a movie like that.
We live in a bubble in the States,
well,
man.
I was going to say, one of the things that I learned from Hazmax is that it seems to me that even though he's admittedly very westernized, and loves the States, and loves his home country as well.
The open roads.
The open
freedom,
roads of America,
The music,
blues, the rock and roll and so forth. But the simplicity of the Italian people, like he has his friend Sentenza, who has a band over there, and Roxy, his wife. Sentenza is very popular, plays in Germany a lot and so forth, and lives literally below the Zumalia Castle. So, I haven't been over there yet, but I just can't imagine what it would be like to actually, to live in an environment. He says it's very similar to like Jerome, but at the top of Jerome would be this huge old Zumalia castle.
From what century? Not
exactly.
Yeah.
But and when you speak with Sentenza, most of the people are bilingual. A lot are bilingual, he likes the simple life. That's one of the things that I think the old country, they've done a better job at that, and we still, as Americans, are working on understanding that simplicity is the... Okay, great, thank you. The simplicity is so important in keeping things simple. Hey, can I mention quickly the other members of the band?
Please do.
This is Stella and the Finns. Yeah. It's Finns with a P-H-I-N-S.
Yeah, short for dolphins.
That's awesome. Finns. It's a full band then?
Yes.
And the full band is going to play at Becky Fest?
Yes, most of us will
amazing.
Be there.
That's great. I'm happy about
that. And again, that's Becky Fest October 20th at the Bistro, 117 North McCormick. Becky Fest, what did I say?
October, but we might be there in October.
No, August. I can't read my own scribble.
It's actually August. August 20th.
August 20th. Yeah, August 20th.
Prophecy well heard.
I'll edit that out. No, I won't. I don't edit anything.
Don't edit.
I don't. It's too much like work. August 20th, starting at 3 p.m., yep. Becky Fest. Find that Becky Fest page on Facebook. Again, it's at the Bistro, August 20th, starting at 3 p.m.
Right,
who's going to be playing along with you?
Stella and the Finns are actually a six-piece group. It's kind of an interesting combination of people. Everybody in the group is actually a songwriter, and everyone in the group is a multi-instrumentalist. So it's not like we go switching around like a bunch of, chickens or anything like that. But I just want to mention that Donna Dirkleck is the catalyst for the project. She actually brought everyone together. And she's a beautiful musician from Phoenix, Arizona. And born and raised native Phoenician, who plays a variety of instruments and really, truly believes that God is the inspiration for the project.
Mostly drums.
Mostly
guitar.
The drums, though, and guitar. But she plays trumpet and keyboards, and you can go on and on and on. She's a songwriter, lives and dies by the writing of the song. And And then Caleb Red, he primarily is playing acoustic guitar right now, but he also plays bass on the album, and he plays acoustic guitar, and he plays keyboards and cello. And so, and he's, you'll hear some of his singing as well at the live shows and on the full-length album. And then D.R. Wilkie, I call him the Wizard of Oz, because with the without D.R., mwah, without D.R., we would be probably missing a lot of the magic.
And we wouldn't have a CD.
Yeah, we wouldn't have a CD.
He's got the burner.
Yeah, he's truly like on Leap of Faith when you hear the sitar and you hear some of those instruments, you know, dobro, mandolin, you know, ukulele, all that. That's D.R., electric guitar, some bass, you know, just and a studio engineer and just really a brilliant, brilliant man. And very patient and a very good hearing, yeah. Sense of hearing. And then Hazmax, of course, on this album is playing the harmonicas. He was the last Finn. And he was sort of the missing, you know, we were in search of him, but he entered late, you know, and yeah. And embellished and put many hooky things into the songs and plays trunfa. Italian trunfa.
What is that?
The one you guys hear that in The Godfather.
The jaw harp?
Yeah.
How do you say The Godfather? What does The Godfather say?
What
does he say, that famous line?
Oh. I'm going to make you an offer you just can't refuse.
You guys better come to our show. No.
You left out a fin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You didn't leave out a fin. You left out the cello.
Yeah. I need to... I am primarily the singer, you know, and but I also play a variety of instruments. You'll hear me playing dream pipe, which is like a didgeridoo.
Mm-hmm.
I play conch shell. And then I play, of course, acoustic guitar and bass guitar.
So this is a really eclectic mix of different sounds and feels.
Yeah, we actually came into the studio. We did it almost exactly opposite of the way that... I haven't talked about Guy yet. I was just going to get... Guy is mostly the lead guitarist on most of the tracks. Guy is studying music and neurology up in BYU. So he's a Brigham Young University, and that was slated for him probably long before he was born. But how Max, you know, Hazmax was talking about his influences being, you know, AC/DC and Sonny Boy Williamson. Guy is one of Guy's big influences is Muddy Waters.
Oh, wow.
And then also he had received a classical guitar scholarship to BYU. So he's up there. So he won't be at most of these shows with us.
Gotcha.
But it's not that he isn't in the band. And what we did to make everything fair for everyone, because we're all contributors, is we just are publishing a split equally between all of us. And anything that we ever do as Stella and the Finns will always be split equally.
Well, that's pretty cool. I know I've heard you sing, Stella, and you've got a powerful, you know, vocal range, and you got you've got chops. You've got
thank you.
You're powerful, and you're quite a performer too.
Thank
very entertaining.
You. I like to perform.
I can. We and that comes across, and we all like to see you perform. How would you describe the? How would you categorize this kind of music?
I say Americana, croon, swoon, and kick.
Americana, croon, swoon, and kick.
Yeah, that's what I call it.
I wanted to a couple questions first, because I want to talk about some of your background a little bit more while we
have
along lines of what Sky was mentioning.
Alrighty,
but
then. Before
we do that, you've mentioned just run through again with Stella and the Finns, with everybody doing multiple instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Run through again without saying who or
what
or
the names
who's
are?
No. Who? What? How many different instruments do you guys muscle through on a performance? Just kind of name.
We're gonna them all? No.
I was wondering how big your bus was.
No, we're looking for the seventh Beatle, and that's the person to fund the bus. Okay, so if that answers the question, we scale it down for live performances. we're going to gear it more towards acoustic performance for now,
well,
and keep it simple and about the song.
But you've
about
got
the song.
So much contribution, so much different influences. It goes back to what you were saying before, and this is what I wanted to ask you about. Mm-hmm. You were talking about Americana, some folk, funk thrown in there, heavy metal.
Blues. And blues. Too.
And blues. What... Are you still melding all of those influences together? You don't try and splinter off and specialize in anything?
No, we're trying to... We consider ourselves to be pioneers at the moment.
Man.
I mean, obviously, we're influenced by everything that we've ever heard, and I really believe that's true. And as we're all healing, you know, I believe that our music may change a little bit. But... it's just, we're not looking to emulate. We're just kind
it
of...
It can make more people happy.
Yeah. We want to inspire and help other people to be happy.
Well,
to...
I admire that particularly because it seems the bands and the people, the musicians that I admire the most, there's not like, okay, here's our country song. Okay, now here's our blues song. Like the Allman Brothers Band, they're blues. And
I love those guys.
Yeah, it's put it all together. You got blues and the jazz and the country and the rock and it's all the and hippie music, but it's rock and it's heavy, it drives. It's all together in the same song. And I really appreciate that. And I appreciate that about you guys. I can't wait to listen to that CD.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's kind of where we're headed. But because we are all songwriters, that's a thing. Like, if anything ever gets, if there's any, like, there's no tension because it's a very supportive environment. But sometimes it can get a little bit close to that. Like when Donna's like, hey, I'm so excited. I wrote this song last night. And I'm like, and are you going to tell me what to, you know, what words to sing? Because, you know, like,
so
you know,
it really
so
is a collaborative effort. Wow.
We're doing our best to really be supportive.
That's foreign to me because when I write a song, I can hear the bass part. I already have the lyrics set.
Right.
I tell the drummer what kind of beat I want.
So I'm,
yeah, that's it.
I'm gonna prophesy here, Sky will not be the seventh Finn.
No, because it's a Beatle. We tricked you. It's a seventh Beatle we're looking for.
That's Stella. I was at the Americana Fest when Becky was one of the performers. The Barefoot and Pregnant was there.
I love them so much.
Yeah. That was a great festival. And let's talk about Becky.
Okay.
They're doing the Becky Fest on August the 20th.
Yeah. I'm just so proud of Becky, first of all, because she, you know, when I first met her, she was support for so many other artists, primarily playing drums or percussion. Mm-hmm. And she did play guitar, but she was kind of just starting to play guitar. And I think she had to cover some things with guitar and vocals or something. And I heard her do that a few times. And I just really thought she was very gifted. And then quickly after that, she started promoting, empowering women through music and really getting serious about that. Like once a month doing this Becky Fest showcase, or maybe more than that in other areas. And I think she might have lived in Georgia for a while. She played some other with some other bands and so forth. But so I'm just really proud of her. And we're really excited to be able to make our local debut at her event on August 20th at the Bistro.
Not October.
And it starts at 3:00. I know she said there's 4 or 5 acts. I know we're playing from 6 to 7. I don't know when the other acts are playing.
The best bet is to show up at 3:00 when it starts and stick around the whole day.
It's an all-ages show. Yeah. They do have, I think you can get a spirit there, but it is an all-ages show, and you can bring your own food.
Awesome.
I think it's an art space.
You guys are the headliners, is what Becky told me this
morning. Oh, really? Wow.
You're the main band. Yeah,
wow. Wow, I'm honored by that.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's very cool.
Wow, I think
there's a special... she feels the same about you as I think that you feel about her. I think she really admires you as well.
Well, we've been through quite a few things together.
Yeah. Run it again. Where can folks find out about your music?
Website.
Website, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you got.
www.stellaandthefinns. I'm going to spell it out one time just to make sure y'all got it.
And we'll put a link as well.
Thank you. StellaandTheFinns. That's StellaandTheFinns .com. And then we also have StellaandTheFinns Facebook.
Facebook. We'll link all that there.
Yeah, and we haven't started the Twitter world yet, but we also have YouTube.
You're not missing much.
StellaandTheFinns YouTube, which...
Links for whatever you got is on StellaandTheFinns.com.
It looks like I have the other members that are going to be there. It's going to be Becky. She's going to sing. All Influence is going to be there. Kalina Martin, We'll be there, and of course, the show will end with Stella and the Finns. It is a $10 donation, but it's a sliding scale, so if you don't have the $10, they'll probably still let you in. But it's all for a good cause, though. So if you have more than $10, maybe you can pitch in a little bit extra.
All right, good deal. So again, stellaandthefins.com for links to all
that. Yeah,
the
and we have
YouTube
a full link
and all that good stuff
coming out. I don't know exactly when, but in a few months or the beginning of next year, which will be full length, has about 20 songs on it.
Oh, nice, nice.
And this is
and where
you
else
can buy
as
this
far
online.
As, where else as far as live performances, you got anything coming up?
We're going to be at the Spirit Room this Wednesday, which I don't know if this will air by then.
This is going up tomorrow morning.
Okay, so 8:00 this Wednesday, and then we're hoping to open up for Sky Daddy some Friday night when he's, you know, needs an opening act.
We're gonna get
that's
that
going to probably be our next show, and then after that we're going to play at the Phoenix Blues Society Showdown on September 25th.
That's amazing.
Very
that's
nice.
A good gig.
So we're going to do
the
that.
And
you actually that's open to anyone.
Is it?
Yeah,
is it,
you just
it's at the Rhythm Room?
It's at the Rhythm Room.
I love that place.
Yeah. So that's all that's what we've got for right now. I'm finishing the full length. That's a priority. And hi, it's Max. And so thank you so much for having us on.
No, that was
so
great.
It's been so much fun to talk with you.
Are you done? The Italian
He's
movie
put
makers
you on YouTube,
over here.
You know.
Tell you what, is there something that that Max can play that Stella can sing along to get us
we
out
can
of
make
here?
You up something. You want
Let's
us to do,
do
a Mile High
Let's
Show little ditty?
Oh, that would be great. I just wrote the theme song. But Matt might not like it. I haven't played it for him yet. So if he doesn't like now he's got a show.
So what kind of lyrics, what kind of, what do you want
clean.
Me to sing about? Okay.
So
we didn't talk about that band.
We want to thank you. We want to thank Stella, Max, and Sky, and the good folks over at the Windmill Corral.
Yeah.
For letting us take up space here again, this is episode 101, available at milehighshow.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, and all other places you get your podcasts. Again, check out windmillhouseaz.com and windmillcorral.com for links to their menus. How do you book the room? How do you get out here to have your big party? Or just bring your family on for a nice afternoon of barbecue and some great music by Sky. Check out Sky at skydaddyandthepoprocks.com. His Facebook.
Skydaddy.net.
Skydaddy.net. I'm sorry. That's skydaddy.net. Your 99 Years Band website as well. We'll have links to all that. He is really active on Facebook for punching up his dates, and he is one of the hardest working men in the music
he
scene,
is.
Playing
really
almost.
Talking today. I'm exhausted.
Almost every night. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, on our website, we will post our future shows, and we are hoping to go on tour with the Stones.
Ah.
So we'll keep you in. We'll
be looking for that. Again, thanks for tuning in. We're going to let Max and Stella take us out with an original right here from the Windmill Corral. We're
going to make it up on the spot. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to the Mile High Show.
Two harmonicas in Rock and Roll Reef.
Mile High, oh, Mile High, a radio show. We're over here at the Windmill Corral for some barbecue. I can sit with my friends. I'm glad we had a chance to spend a little time with you, Mile High. Radio, Mile High radio show.
My radio
show. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
My radio show at the Windmill Barbecue every Sunday. Sky Daddy,
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, hopefully it wasn't.